Welcome back, and let's get into a really useful one for drum and bass, how to modulate a Jungle 808 tail so it has that timeless roller momentum in Ableton Live 12. Now, this is one of those little things that can completely change how a groove feels. A classic 808 tail is more than just a big low boom. In a roller, in jungle, in darker halftime sections, that tail can be the glue between your kick, your snare, your breaks, and your bassline. If it's controlled well, it feels like the track keeps moving forward even when the notes are simple. If it's not controlled, it just turns into low-end mush. So in this lesson, we're going to build a clean 808 bass sound, shape the tail, and then automate that tail so it breathes across the bar. We're aiming for punchy, deep, and controlled, with just enough motion to keep things alive. Not overcooked, not flashy, just that nice forward pull that makes a roller feel expensive. First thing, start with a clean 808 source on its own dedicated bass track. If you're working from a sample, drop it into Sampler. That's the easiest route for beginners. If you prefer building the sound from scratch, Operator can work too, but Sampler is the quickest way to get results. Once the sample is in Sampler, check how it behaves. You want it in one-shot or classic mode depending on the sample. If there's too much click or top-end noise, use the filter to smooth that out. And make sure the root note matches the key of your track. That sounds basic, but in drum and bass, tuning matters a lot because the sub has to sit cleanly in the pocket. A good starting point is to keep the attack immediate. We don't want the bass to hesitate. Set the attack to zero or just a few milliseconds. Then shape the decay so the hit has a clear body and a controlled tail. For a beginner-friendly starting zone, try a decay somewhere around 350 to 600 milliseconds. If the release is cutting too abruptly, give it a little extra, maybe 80 to 120 milliseconds. That way, the note doesn't snap off unnaturally. And here's a really important teacher note. A lot of people only think about the tail, but the front of the note matters just as much. If the attack is soft or late, the groove loses impact. In roller music, the bass needs to hit with confidence. Before we add movement, let's put a simple control chain on the track. Think like a mastering engineer from the start, not in the sense of final loudness, but in the sense of control and translation. We want the bass to behave consistently. A solid starting chain is a Q8, then saturator, then compressor or glue compressor, and finally utility. With a Q8, gently clean up anything unnecessary. If there's rumble below the useful sub range, you can high pass very lightly around 20 to 30 Hz, but only if needed. If the tail sounds boxy, look around 150 to 300 Hz. If there's a click or harsh bite, you might tame a little in the upper mids around 2 to 5 kHz. The idea is not to sculpt a completely different sound. The idea is to remove problems before they become bigger problems. Next, saturator. Just a little drive goes a long way here. Try around 1 to 4 dB of drive and keep an eye on the output so you're not just making it louder by accident. If needed, turn on soft clip. That can help densify the tail without making it sound harsh. This is one of those tiny moves that can make the bass feel more present on smaller speakers. Then a compressor. Keep it light. We are not smashing the life out of the sound. We just want the tail to stay steady. A ratio around 2 to 1 or 3 to 1 is a good start, with a medium attack and release. Let the front of the note breathe, and let the tail settle in a controlled way. And finally, utility. This is huge for low-end work. Keep the sub centered. If you want the bass to stay fully mono, set the width to 0%. That's especially useful in dark rollers and jungle-inspired material where low-end stability is everything. Now comes the fun part, modulation. We want the tail to breathe, but we want it to feel subtle and intentional, not like a giant EDM sweep. In a roller, small changes can create a lot of motion. The easiest beginner method is automation. Use track automation or clip envelopes to move one or two key parameters over time. Good targets are filter cutoff, utility gain, saturator drive, or the send amount to a reverb or echo return. If your instrument allows it, you can even automate decay time itself. For example, on a 2-bar loop, you might keep bar 1 darker and shorter, then make bar 2 slightly longer and a bit more open. On the last note before a transition, you could open the filter just a touch and extend the tail a little more, maybe 10 to 20%. That's enough to create anticipation without sounding dramatic. A really useful habit here is to think in phrases, not just notes. In roller music, the bass often works best when it changes every 1 or 2 bars, even if the MIDI itself is very simple. That phrasing approach is what keeps repetition hypnotic instead of boring. If you want a bit more animated movement, add auto filter. put it after saturator or before compression depending on whether you want the motion to be more obvious or more controlled. Start with a low-pass filter and keep the resonance low. Sweep somewhere in the range of 150 to 400 Hz, and if you use LFO modulation, keep it really subtle. Sync the rate to 1/4, 1/8, or 1/2 if you want rhythmic movement. You can also try frequency shifter for a darker, more experimental texture. Just be careful, tiny amounts can add a really interesting metallic edge, but too much will pull weight out of the sub. In most cases, it's better to automate the dry/wet or use it only at phrase ends and transitions. Now let's make sure the 808 is working with the drums, because in drum and bass the bass is never isolated. It's part of the groove design. Place the MIDI so it doesn't collide with the kick transient. Leave space for the snare on 2 and 4, or for the snare accents in your break if you're using chop drums. If the tail is washing over ghost notes or fills, shorten it slightly. Sometimes the fastest fix is just making the note a little shorter rather than adding more processing. This is a really good beginner tip. If your 808 feels lazy, check the note length first before reaching for more plugins. A slightly shorter MIDI note can instantly tighten the groove. If the kick and bass are still fighting, try sidechain, compression from the kick or even from the snare bus if that suits the arrangement. Keep it subtle. You usually only want a small amount of gain reduction, something like 1 to 3 dB. That little bit of breathing can preserve the energy while keeping the drums clear. And here's a major lesson for the low end. Always judge the bass with the drums playing. Solo is useful for setup, but solo is often misleading. The tail that sounds huge by itself might be too much once the break comes in. If you want to take this even further, resample the bass. Freeze and flatten it, or record it to audio. Then edit the waveform directly. This is where things start to feel more like classic jungle workflow. Once it's audio, you can trim the tail more precisely, make tiny reverse edits or nudge slices by a few milliseconds to give the phrase a more human, more old-school feel. Resampling is powerful because it turns the 808 from a static held note into a playable phrase. That's one reason a lot of timeless jungle and roller bass lines feel so alive. They're not just notes, they're shaped events. Now let's talk about translation. You want this bass to work on club systems, headphones, and smaller speakers without falling apart. So keep an eye on mono compatibility, keep the sub centered, and don't overdo the width. If the tail sounds loud, but not heavy, check the actual sub region around 40 to 80 Hz instead of just turning everything up. And if it disappears on small speakers, add a little harmonic presence with gentle saturation rather than boosting the sub itself. That's one of the smartest low-end habits you can build early. Don't just chase more volume, chase better behavior. A couple of pro-level ideas, still beginner-friendly in spirit. If you want the bass to feel denser, use a tiny bit of saturator before compression and maybe a little more after. If you want extra movement, try a very quiet, heavily filtered return with echo or reverb, but keep the low frequencies out of that return. You can also try a tiny pitch drop at the end of longer notes for a bit of jungle flavor, but keep it subtle so it feels musical and not gimmicky. For arrangement, use tail length as contrast. Short tails in one section, longer tails in another. In a breakdown, you can let the tail breathe more. In the main drop, keep it tighter so the groove stays sharp. Even just alternating short and slightly extended tails every 2 or 4 bars can make the whole track feel more alive. If you want a simple practice move, build a 2-bar loop at 174 BPM. Load a clean 808 into simpler, write 4 to 6 notes, add EQ8, saturator, compressor, and utility, and then automate the tail length on the last note of each bar. Add a gentle filter move so the second bar opens a little more than the first. Then listen with a kick, snare, and break loop. Tweak until the bass feels like it pushes forward without stepping on the drums. And that's really the whole mission here. We're not just making a low note last longer. We're shaping momentum. We're making the tail work like part of the drum groove. We're keeping the low end clean, mono safe, and alive. So remember the big takeaways. Keep the source clean. Keep the sub centered. Automate small changes across phrases and always test everything with the drums. Small moves in decay, filter cutoff, saturation, and level can make a massive difference in a drum and bass mix. Build it, listen in context, and don't be afraid to make tiny adjustments. That's where the timeless roller energy lives.